The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry Godsey, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
So what we're going to talk about this morning is the impact of worship. I was looking back over the scriptures for this morning's message, and I think we've used most of them. I think we've worked our way through these passages. But we never put them all together and showed how they go beyond this. We talked about worship as warfare a couple of weeks ago, and how that our worship is actually a tool for us to do battle in the spiritual realms. That our worship allows us to effect things for God. God is able to use us. What I want to talk to you about today is the impact that our worship has as God uses us as we worship. Now, and again, get out of the mindset that worship is just singing on Sunday morning. That, in fact, none of what we're going to talk about right now is worship, is singing on Sunday morning. We're going to talk about worship as a lifestyle. Worship, and we've been hammering that. Man, if you haven't heard the term worship as a lifestyle, you haven't been here, you haven't been listening. Because we say it all the time. Worship is part of every day. It's part of your existence as a Christian, just like breathing is part of your existence as a human. And so the thing is, we've talked a lot about how worship affects us. We've talked an awful lot about how worship changes our relationship with God and brings us closer to God. But what about the impact that worship has on the people around us? What about the fact that when we worship, God uses our worship to affect change in other people? Our worship has an impact. And it's something that I think we kind of gloss over, we forget about, or maybe we've never even thought about. Because let's be honest, we have a tendency to kind of get self-centered. Okay, you know, not you guys, me, only me.
Liars.
Anyway, we have a tendency to think about us, don't we? Come on, let's be honest. I wake up in the morning, I'm not thinking, well, how will the world be affected by my life today? I'm thinking, oh, crud, I have to get to work. But the life that I live affects the people around me. And if I'm effectively worshiping God, my life, God is able to use my life to effectively worship or effectively to impact the people around me. And the flip side of that is true, is that if I don't worship effectively, people's lives are not affected the way God wants them to be affected. Make no mistake about it, there is no neutral territory here. If you're not worshiping God effectively, people around you are suffering spiritually.
Well, it got quiet.
You laugh a lot when I talk. Usually at me, but that time it was just like a dead quiet because it was like one of those amen or ouch times, right? Hey, I got news for you. You don't exist in a vacuum. And if you're close to God and you're worshiping effectively and you're doing the things that God wants you to do, people's lives are blessed all around you. And if you're not, people's lives either aren't blessed or worse than that, people's lives can be hurt. Did you ever stop to think that your life could hurt the people around you because you're not serving God right? See, if you're listening to God, you're in tune with God, and you're going through life and doing the good things, God can use you to touch the lives of people around you. You may have just the right word for that person, just the right time. But if you're not listening to God, if your life is just kind of self-absorbed and you're just going on and on and on, those people that need you don't hear from you. John Donne said, no man is an island. Spiritually, no man, no woman is an island. You're here to minister to other people as well as you're here to be ministered to. Make no mistake about it. Amen? Okay. Let's pray. God, speak to us. Father, you have something powerful for us today. But God, it all hinges on our worship. I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear from you today, God. Touch us. Thanks, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of places where God used worship to impact the lives of other people. So let's look at the first one and say that God opens hearts in the presence of worship. And God opened the heart of a sincere seeker. We're in Acts chapter 16, from verse 11. From Troas, we set out and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia. We stayed there several days. Now, look what's happening. They're not doing anything so far. There's a lot of traveling. But look at what it says. It says, we set out and sailed straight for it. There are a lot of times when you're like a guided missile to be used by God. He's got a job for you, and if you're following him and you're listening to him, you're headed straight for, you're on a collision course with the right person. But it starts with you being sensitive. It starts with you listening. Now, they could have pulled a Jonah and gone the other direction, but instead they chose to follow what God had for them to do. So let's keep going now. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now, what did they do? They went outside the city gates just looking for a place to pray. As they were praying, they met a woman. And her heart was touched by God's message. She was looking for something. There are people around you who are looking for something. Come on, they're there every day. You see them all the time. Oh, they may disguise it sometimes, but they're looking. They're hurting and they're looking for answers. They're kind of lost. And they've got questions about what it is that you do. Why are you a Christian? What does that mean that you're a Christian? Why do you go to church? They start asking you questions like that. Now, let me tell you something. You've got to be sensitive. Because when a seeker comes to you, you can scare them away. You ever have a dog come up to you? And they kind of, they don't know you. And they kind of look. Now, I'm not calling people dogs. That's not fair to dogs. No. But they come up to you and they start, looking at you. Hey, do you have candy for me? Are you going to kill me? What are you going to do here? And if you lunge at the dog, the dog's going to like freak out and run away. Well, when a seeker starts talking to you, and they start feeling you out about God. Hey, well, what's going on there? If you like all of a sudden start with your church voice, yea, verily, let me tell you about Jesus. I want to let you know that you're a sinner and you're going to hell, but God can save you. If you start talking to me that way, I'm going to run. Let me tell you something. I don't know anybody that's been pounded into the kingdom of heaven. And you can't do it either. They went looking for a place to pray. And as they were doing their Christian thing, somebody was influenced. Hey, live your life for God. Live your life for God, and people will be drawn. And don't go hog wild and pig crazy on them. Here, let me pull out my 25-pound family Bible, and let me start showing you verses in a language you don't understand. And it says here, the Greek right here is very important. Shut up. Nobody needs to know that. What they need to know is what God's done in your life. Isn't that what you want to hear? Look, these people will be influenced to Christ long before they ever come hear me. They're going to be influenced by you. They see you all the time. And that's good and bad. I'll be honest with you. There are times at work when, they see Jerry, but I really want them to see God, but they're seeing a lot of Jerry. Because Jerry gets stressed and Jerry walks up and down the hallways real fast and forgets people and does things. They need to see God. And we've got to be sensitive to that. Do your thing. Where the seekers will find you. And when they do, lead them as a friend to Christ. See, I don't have to be convinced by somebody that a certain kind of car is great. I'll watch them. I'll talk to them. I'll ask them about that. Hey, you like that car? Hey, how's that going out for you? Hey, take a ride in it one time. Invite your friends to church. Let me tell you something. Of all the churches you can go to, this is probably the most low-key. Because I look around, this ain't exactly high church. And you know what? I'm glad. Look, everything about this place is exactly the way Jeremiah and I felt like God wanted it. If we felt like we needed, God called us to do high church, we'd do high church. We'd find ourselves a big rock building somewhere and we'd start, you know, we'd wear robes. Oh, that's not us. That's, man, I wear shorts at church, man. I'd never wear long pants if they didn't make me. The sheriff's office frowns on shorts. And with my legs, who can blame them? Evidently, I don't care what you think because I wear them on Sundays. Look, bring them. And, you know, you got a female friend. Invite her to burnt offerings. Have them come play volleyball. Have them come around some of the stuff we're going to do, some guys for men. Have them come around. Let them see that we're not all geeks. Let them see that we're not going to beat them over the head with a family Bible. Influence them to Christ through your life. Let your life shine in front of them. Let you be you. And then tell them what God has done for you. Because that preaches louder and more effective than anything I'll ever say on a Sunday. Let your life lead them to Christ. What's the quote? In everything you do, preach the gospel. And if necessary, use words. You'd be surprised how little it's necessary. There are people all around you that are looking. There are people all around you that are hurting and want more than anything else to be influenced to God. Look at the change in this lady. Not only was she brought to Christ, but her whole family. Just live it. Just live it. But that means that every day when you wake up, before your feet hit the floor, your prayer had better be, God, make me a witness today. God, let my life shine. Let the worship that I have for you shine in everything about you, God. See, these are easy targets because they come to you. Targets, that's a bad word. A bad phrase. You're like, hey, who's the next victim? No, okay. But let's look at the next one, because God not only changed the heart of a seeker and that ice machine, God changed the heart of a sadistic skeptic. See, the seekers are easy because they come to you. They're looking for God. But do you know that your life can influence people who aren't looking for God? You ever know anybody that's not looking for God? See them all the time. They may live in your house. They may live next door. They may work with you. They're not looking for God. In fact, they're running from God. They're doing their dead level best to get away from God. And we talked about this scripture. In fact, it's more in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Oh, by the way, they're in jail. And not like the Imperial County Jail where it's nice and they get HBO and stuff. this is a bad jail. This is one of the jails where they bring you food, and if you're big enough and tough enough, you may get to eat it. I mean, you could go to jail back then. There's no HBO. No air conditioning. You ever do a tour of the Yuma Territorial Prison? Oh, man, you see the rock in the side? They're like, dude, no way. No, it's not going to happen. It's amazing. If you've never been there, you got to go. It's amazing. So that's kind of what we're looking at here, just a hole where they threw guys. And what are Paul and Silas doing? By the way, after they were beaten, oh yeah, a few verses before this, they got the tar kicked out of them. And they're singing praises to God. I don't think so. I got all stressed out this morning because things weren't, I got to go do this. Crud. I'm all upset. The poor people in the van, the poor people in the truck, they were listening to me. Luce, poor Luce. I know on the way to church, Luce is like praying, dear Jesus, don't let him kill us. Driving us to church. Yesterday I was late for something, driving in San Diego. And it's amazing how the IQ level of the people around you drops when you're behind. And suddenly everybody on the road is dumber than a sack of rocks. I mean, they're already not that smart, evidently, but then their IQ level drops and they pull out in front of you, and it's all you can do to keep from thinking, I'm going to take a hostage. I have access to weaponry. I'm going to do something ugly. And here's Paul and Silas, after being beaten, locked up in chains, worshiping God. But isn't that what we're supposed to do? Didn't we talk about that a few weeks ago? Worshiping in tough times? When stuff is really at their lowest, isn't that a good time to worship God? Isn't that a good time to remind yourself and remind God, by the way? Oh, hey, God, you said you're going to see me through this. Let's go. Jeremiah mentioned earlier praying scripture. Hey, I love the idea that I can remind God of his promises. Not that he's forgotten them. But you know who I'm really reminding? The bald guy. See, I need to be reminded that God is true to his promises, and God has promised me that he wouldn't send me anything I couldn't handle. God has promised me that in the fire, he's there. God has promised me that in the flood, he's there. God has promised me that no matter what end of the earth I go to, no matter how dark the day looks, God is there. Why wouldn't you praise and sing God's word and worship God if you're in prison? Because if it gets that bad, God's there somewhere. How cool is that? And we forget that. Suddenly, oh, look at it. And the other prisoners are listening to them. Why? Because first of all, I got to be honest with you. I've worked at the sheriff's office long enough to know that when somebody's like really going off like that, you listen for the next thing they're going to say. Because it's usually funny. But they're listening to these guys sing praises to God because they had to be wondering, either A, what are these guys on and will they share? Or what do they have that I need? I'm pretty well sure it was the latter. If these guys had been beaten and they watched them come in, and when they beat you in those days, it wasn't like a couple, they beat you. They bring them in shackles, they chain them up inside, and they're singing praises to God. You got to wonder what is going on with these guys. Suddenly there's such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, who probably shouldn't have been asleep. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Can you imagine being the dude on duty? And you look around, where is everybody? Oh, it's time to go home. Because if the jail's empty and you're the jailer, it's going to be pretty hard to explain. Well, see, what happened was there was they're all gone. Guess who's going to end up in jail next? The jailer called for... Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Stupid. But really, why would they go? If you're praying and asking God and thanking God, and then God all of a sudden moves, why would you run away from the place where God's moving? We do that all the time. Come on, work with me here. We're in the middle of a tough time. Oh, God, thank you. I praise you, Father. I know you're going to undertake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God undertakes. Hey, God, thanks. I'll see you at the next bad thing. And we totally forget about God until the next bad thing happens and we got to rely on him again. And you wonder why your life is like a roller coaster at Knott's Berry Farm. You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. And let me tell you something. The times when you're down are the times when you're struggling to get close to God. The times when you're up are the times it's easiest to forget God. It's easy to forget God when the things are going good. Yeah? Come on, amen or ouch? And ouch. When things are going bad, though, whoo. You don't have time for those King James prayers now, do you? When it's really, really rough. You know, when it's really good, you're like showing off. Yay, my most omnipotent Father. And you're praying those little Chicken McNugget prayers. You know, seems like a prayer, but it's not really. Chicken McNugget seems like chicken, but it's not really. I don't know what chicken nuggets are made out of, but chickens are not intimidated by Chicken McNuggets. They don't recognize their uncle. And I wonder sometimes if what we call prayer, God looks at it and says, you know, you're just talking. Because if it's not really from your heart, is it truly prayer? Prayer is communicating with God. I think sometimes we just talk at him. Husbands and wives do that. They talk at each other. Never happens in my house, of course. That's not true, and I got the scars to prove it. Just talking at God is not the same thing as prayer. Now listen, I know that God, we talk about prayer all the time, and prayer is just talking to God. It really is. I mean, that's as basic as. But I wonder sometimes if we don't just pray those rote prayers without ever really, really getting into them. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Did you pray or did you just rattle something off? Now, I'm not saying that God disregards that. I think God loves us. But he also tells us not to talk in vain repetition like the heathen do. Hey, you going to talk to me? Talk to me. These guys call with these canned sales rates. Hey, how you doing, Jerry? Okay. Well, hey, I just want to talk to you for a minute. I don't know who this guy is. And he's reading from a script. The only thing he's changed is, hey, how you doing, Jerry? We have this little bear for Soren, my grandson. and it's got this song, and you program in Soren's name. I have a friend, his name is Soren. It's totally not natural. Totally not natural. And his favorite color is
blue.
It's just wrong. And it just, and Soren loves it, but it messes with his head, messes with my head, like, that's unnatural. That's an unnatural speech pattern. And sometimes we do that when we just rattle off these vain, repetitious prayers. Lord, bless me, bless everybody, amen. Come on, man, if you're going to talk to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, hey, how about giving him some time? Hey, God, man, I am so thankful you're listening to me. Hey, I got some issues. Can I tell you about them? Do you know you can talk to God that way? In fact, I'm pretty sure God prefers that. I would, if I was God. Well, it's a good thing I'm not God, but I would. Don't run from God when God comes through. Stick around, stick and stay. See what God's going to do. It's amazing. Don't peel out and go. Stay there. Paul and Silas stuck around. Yeah, it was ugly. Hey, they were still in chains. But God's doing something. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wait, see, the lady in the other story, Lydia, she wanted something, didn't she? This guy had no need for God 5 minutes before. And now, all of a sudden, he wants to know what to do. See, God uses worship to find seekers. God also uses worship to touch those who don't want anything to do with it. And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. God opened their hearts because of worship. I'm telling you right now, there are people in your life who are seekers whose hearts will be opened as you worship. There are people in your life right now who are skeptics, whose hearts will be open because of worship. And all you need to do is remember what Paul told them. Jeremiah, can we go back one more? What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. In fact, let me stop right here. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, you're a seeker. There's a reason you're here. What do you need to do to be saved? What do you need to do to have your heart right with God? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. It's good stuff. You don't have to pray a fancy prayer. You don't have to have, you know, the right, you know, hand gestures. And it's believe in the Lord Jesus. It's good stuff. Now, after you believe in the Lord Jesus, great things are going to start happening to you. And you're going to find some changing going on in your life. Don't worry about all the changes. We do that, don't we? Well, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give up this, 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 and this. A lady asked my grandpa one time. She was a dancer. And she asked my grandpa one time, she said, "Well, Pastor Brewer, if I get saved, do I have to quit dancing?" He said, "No, just change partners." Isn't that what we're talking about? Hey, you let God do the work. You accept Christ. You let your life come to Jesus and let God do the work. God does the changing. God works in us. Let's see the second thing. God opens hearts through the power of worship. The power of worship. When unbelievers experience the presence of God in worship, they're moved and convicted by the Holy Spirit. But worship is the key motivator that empowers us as believers to be bold in our witness. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That is the most amazing verse to me because of that last sentence. They realized that they had been with Jesus. See, when God starts moving in you and you start finding yourself giving wisdom that you don't have, which for me is like any time that good things come out, when you start talking and all of a sudden you have the answer to somebody's problems that you didn't even know you had, you've been with Jesus. Been with Jesus. And people marvel because they realize that these guys, that this person's been with Jesus. So, let's go down to Acts chapter 4. Verse 20. I talk about a woman who truly worshiped. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet." I'm sorry, this is Matthew. Lost my place. Or John 4, 20. Golly. No moment away. John chapter 4, verse 20. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Now let's go back. Here's what's happened. She's gone to get water. Or Jesus sends all the guys to go get food. Disciples are gone. This woman comes up, and Jesus starts telling her all about her. Where's your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. Yeah, he said, you know, you're right. You don't have a husband. In fact, the guy you're living with isn't your husband. So there's a reason why she came to get water in the middle of the day. It's because if she went early in the morning, all the other ladies would turn on her. It's true. So there's a reason she was there when she was there. Jesus told her all about her. So the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Duh. You're standing there and some guy starts telling you everything about you. Never met you before. Something's on. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet time is coming, has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, look at, now, this is where her head starts getting in the way. Her head starts getting in the way. Look at this. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. When you start talking to people about Christ, their head's going to get in the way sometimes. They're going to think they have to think their way through this. Don't be afraid of that. Look, God gave you a brain and an intellect. He expects you to use it. I did not check my brain at the door when I walked in this morning. God and science, God and wisdom, God and intellect, God and thinking are not enemies. You don't have to become a dumb bunny to become a Christian. In fact, it's offensive to me if you think that's the case. They told Billy Sunday one time that, they told Billy Sunday, he said, well, God's a crutch. Billy Sunday said, well, then give me two of them. Hey, I know what's what. I also know that I'm smart enough to know when I'm smart enough not to know something. The fact that I can't figure out God doesn't mean that I don't exist. Just like the fact that the earthworm and the grass out there that can't figure out me doesn't mean that I don't exist. It's just a matter of perspective and understanding. I don't have to understand God, but I've seen him work. Make sense? And this woman said, I understand this, but hey, here's what's going on. I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And Jesus said, well, I who speak to you am he. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? And the reason they didn't ask is because they're scared. But they thought it. You ever see somebody talking to somebody and think, what are they doing talking to that person? Well, I guess the best answer to that is none of you. None of your business. See, if God sends somebody and you're talking to them, and God is using them to talk to God, why does that matter to anybody else? In fact, if you're worried about that, why don't you shut up and go find somebody to talk to God about yourself? Here's a novel concept. In fact, instead of worrying whether you're doing what God's telling you to do, how about if I go do what I'm supposed to do for God, and then we'll worry about each other later? I find that I've got plenty of work just taking care of Jerry Godsey. Believe it or not, taking care of me is pretty much a full-time job, and really, I need help. That's why God gave me a wife. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and talked to the people. So we'll get to the people in a minute here. Jesus just talked to her. And it was the power of worship that opened it up to her. But let me tell you something. When God starts speaking through you, there is power that comes with those words. And it's not you. You're not that good. Indira Gandhi told a guy one time, quit acting so humble, you're not that good. Hey, quit worrying about all this other stuff. This woman worshipped and found out who Jesus really was. And so look at the next part. She began to witness. Verse 29. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. See, it's one thing when you've got an experience. It's another thing when you lead your friends to Christ, and they have an experience. Remember the old Fabric J Organics commercials? Now, you have to be old like me to remember these. YouTube it. It's there somewhere. You young guys, YouTube it. Fabergé Organics. Had the pretty lady with blonde hair. I used Fabergé Organic commercial. And I told two friends. And they told two friends. And so on and so on. And before you know it, the screen's like full of these blonde-haired ladies talking, which is kind of creepy after a while. Here's what happens. I have an experience with Jesus. I tell two friends. And they tell two friends. And so on and so on and so on. Did you know that Christianity was never meant to be addition? It's meant to be multiplication. Because as you begin to live Christ, as you begin to let people see Jesus inside of you, the power of God flows through you. Think about it. You're like an extension cord for God. And as God uses you, God's power flows through you, and you plug in this person and plug in that person, and then they're extension cords, and they're going to go tell their friends, people that you may never know. I've had people that were influenced to Christ because of the fact that I influenced somebody, and then down the road, they influenced somebody. I've told you that my niece, when she was getting married, she told me she was going to get married, and I emailed her and said, I haven't approved this guy. I have to prove. You know, I don't know this guy. And she answered me back, and she said, yes, you did. You mentored him. Oh, wait a second. I've never met the guy. How did I mentor him? Here's the way it worked. When I was youth pastor at El Cajon at Central Assembly in El Cajon in San Diego, I mentored a guy named Scott Stewart, and I led Scott into the ministry. Great kid. Later on, hired him as my youth pastor, and he was my associate in two different churches. Great kid. Scott went on to become youth pastor at Val Vista Assembly in Hemet, where a guy named Stephen Rose went to church. And Scott mentored Stephen Rose. And Stephen Rose is now married to my niece, Rebecca. I mentored him, and I never met him, because I mentored the kid who mentored him. And Scott added his own twist, but for the most part, the way Scott did ministry was the way I did ministry, and the way I did ministry was the way guys before me had done ministry, because I learned it from them. And so really, Stephen Rose and Scott Stewart were mentored by me, but I was mentored by Terry Cook and by Dave Johnson and by Bill Brewer and all these other guys who had other things in me, Bobby Cave and Tom Benton and all these guys that I stand on their shoulders, the guys who taught me ministry. And they all have this long conga line of people who are involved in Stephen Rose, my niece Rebecca. And that's the way it's supposed to be. As your life is lived before others, people see you and you influence people to Christ. And then down the road, then they start influencing people to Christ. And before you know it, your life, your one single solitary life has impacted thousands of people. You ever heard the name Billy Graham? Most people have heard of Billy Graham. Who led Billy Graham to Christ? The guy who sold shoes, and he was Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher. You think that shoe salesman doesn't have a hand in every single life that Billy Graham has touched? Yeah. Whose life are you influencing? Not tomorrow. Today. Yesterday. The day before. I didn't ask who you're preaching to, did I? Or preaching at. I ask whose life you're influencing through your life, through your worship, through God flowing through you. I got news for you. This is not one of those parts of Christianity that you can kind of say, well, you know, maybe. No, no. This is the lifeblood of being a Christian. You want to call yourself a Christian? You must be an influencer for Jesus. The only way you can be an influencer for Jesus, the only way you can have the impact that God wants you to have, is to be worshiping, is to keep your life on fire and close to God every second of every day. That's a tall order. But being a Christian is like pedaling a bicycle uphill. You can't coast. You've got to just keep going. So every day, you're going to get to take a day off. I'm dieting right now. First three letters of diet are die. I know that's not a coincidence. Okay? So I was in San Diego yesterday, and we took a day off. Well, that's great. But if you take a day off from your diet, you lose ground because you eat things you're not supposed to. So I lost ground today. I'll pick it up again tomorrow, but now I'm starting to think that maybe the pizza at California Pizza Kitchen wasn't really worth... Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Hey. Every day, though, you got to keep dieting. Every day, yeah, tomorrow I got to go back to whatever that stuff is that I'm eating. No. Every day, you got to keep going. Every day, you got to live your life for Jesus. And if you make a mistake, the next day, you get up, you dust off your britches, you ask God to forgive you, and you start again. You go from there. God expects you to make mistakes. That's why Jesus died for you, so that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Make no mistake about it, though. The same God who forgives you of your sin also said, don't sin. So it's not like God's okay with it. He just said, I understand that's part of the process. Let's give you a way to fix it. So powerful. See, and you never thought that worship would help you change lives for Christ. I am reaching from the
depths of my soul. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.